everybody. Welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And this week we have a Victory Sports Series, The Wrestler, with a big photo of Hulk Hogan. What? Exclusive photo, Hulk Hogan, the Hulk Hogan Book of Lists.
Hell yeah. The Wrestler from January 1990.
Oh, 1990, January.
Yeah. January 1990.
Which, when I saw this magazine, I thought it would be later, like mid-90s, just because Hulk is wearing black. And you don't associate black bandana, black shirt Hulk Hogan with 1990. So it's interesting. Interesting yeah. choice of outfit. And he's got a big old watch on. So it looks like a Swatch
yeah,
watch.
Yeah, that's another one where I noticed the watch very yeah. prominently. But yeah, this is just Hogan casual. This is like him on the No Holds Barred tour.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
doing the promo.
He probably had the red and black striped tights on under it.
Yeah.
That he used to wear on like the No Holds Barred tour. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but here he is looking all cash. But the exclusive, the Hulk Hogan Book of Lists. And then underneath that, you have an article here about, it says, Tommy Rich, Lex Luger is on a collision course with disaster. But for some reason, the picture they chose is Lex Luger power slamming Tommy Rich.
Yeah, there's a whole article in this that we'll talk about of Lex Luger and Tommy Rich in a match. And a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Tommy Rich, name a good match with Tommy Rich, and neither one of us could have. I think the Wrestler might have been like, okay, guys, here it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and I think this is what, a Clash of Champions match,
I
think, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So maybe I have to go back and watch that.
Yeah, maybe it was a good match for all we know.
Yeah. Lex Luger in a good match with Tommy Rich.
And then at the top, Brainbuster Challenge, Fire Heenan.
Fire Heenan.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they ended up firing Tully. So.
Yeah.
yeah, so then... I like the Brainbuster Challenge. It makes me think of like the Ice Bucket Challenge. So he's...
Oh, they're going to dump water on
Heenan. They're going to dump water on Heenan. That's how they're going to do it.
Oh.
So PWI Weekly, real quick. This is the first one I've seen where they advertise PWI Weekly. And PWI Weekly was basically the kayfabe or the non-kayfabe version of, I think this is what, maybe not quite at this point, but this is like the non-kayfabe version of the Afterbacks.
Oh, okay.
So
it was like a PW Torch?
Yeah.
Their
yeah.
version of it?
Yeah, maybe. So I do want to point out here, we go on to our book here, but we get into the advertising for the Inside Wrestling and The Wrestler, Get Yourself Some Issues. They use an issue, and I have to find, this is another must-find issue of Inside Wrestling. It's just on the cover. It's just a picture of Hulk Hogan holding up a picture of Elizabeth. And it's got this, it looks like it's a Photoshop.
Yeah, I don't think he's actually holding the photo.
But he's got this goofy look on his face, and it's a really, like, big close-up of him, and he's holding his picture, and it says, Hulk Hogan admits, quote, I love Elizabeth. And it says, but then if you look close enough underneath it, it just says, quote, like a sister. We need that magazine. We need to find that one. I don't know what year that's from.
Yeah.
Because I can't really tell, but it definitely exists. And we need to read it. Because I love that photo.
It looks like May of 90.
No, it couldn't be made because this is January 90.
Oh.
Can't be in the future.
May of 89, maybe?
Maybe May of 89. Yeah, we got to find.
Because usually they use kind of recent back issues for those advertisements.
Here's the thing. We need every issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Wrestling, The Wrestler, and Inside Wrestling, and Sports Review Wrestling from 1984 until 1995. I want all of them. All of them.
I buy these magazines out of my own money, and and you buy the web service for the podcast. It's kind of how we've been splitting the cost of this podcast.
Yes.
I feel like maybe we should do a Patreon and that will fund the cost of all more magazines, because you're asking for a lot of magazines, and I'd be more than happy to buy.
I'm not saying you have to buy it. I'm just saying I want to find it. But and if I, maybe I can also find this too.
But also, if you're listening to us, be on the lookout for a Patreon.
Yeah, we'll figure out a Patreon for you guys.
I feel like we don't have enough subscribers for a Patreon.
No, I know. You need people to listen to, yeah. to give you money.
I know. I mean, I would only make it $1 a month. I wouldn't make it like, I wouldn't put any tiers or anything. Like, if you want to throw us a bone, $1 a month, I wouldn't.
I'll look for this too.
No, it's.
I know you put me on blast here.
No, I was like, I was just trying to drum up some interest for a Patreon.
Well, I agree.
That's kind of what I was doing. Because yeah, we do put a lot of money into the podcast, but we don't mind. It's not like it's making us go broke or anything. But I feel like a Patreon would be kind of something avenue we should explore. Maybe
I agree.
Maybe it'll help grow the podcast, and we will have more listeners if we see some money coming in.
Maybe
that's what I'm saying. Maybe it'll be more
strategy.
Of a more of a priority for us to do more with the podcast if we got some of that cash coming in. We don't have a backer.
No, we don't. We do not have a special backer. We do not have a Million-Dollar Man.
No.
Or Skandar Akbar to fund us.
It's all coming out of our pockets.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we're jumping to the letters here. Nothing really to say here, but I do want to point out this great picture of Carrie Von Erich and Mr. T. However, I feel like this isn't really Mr. T. This doesn't look. I feel like there's something off about this.
Yeah, I kinda,
like. Did you see that too? Do you kind of feel like?
No, it's definitely Mr. T. But I could see why you'd think that. Yeah, because his mohawk isn't as prominent. Just because I think the lighting's very.
He looks
poor.
A bit too. I don't know. There's something about it. He looks a bit more chiseled.
Yeah.
Not as chiseled as Mr. T. And you can't really tell because he has his sunglasses on.
It's definitely Mr. T, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had my doubts.
No, I can confirm. But yeah, it's definitely the lighting kind of throws it off. But yeah.
I do not know.
I love his tights that he's wearing, though.
Apparently there was a thing here which maybe we should research here. In the November 1989 issue, they ran a story about Kevin, is Mr. T the Von Erich's secret weapon? The Von Erich's weapon. Apparently,
yeah, I guess he was, his friendship was helping him with his feud with Devastation Incorporated
and Bam Bam Bigelow. Whoa. Okay, we even got two letters here from that. That's a hot issue. So what's happening?
You got a photo of Rick Steiner with woman,
or she was Robin Green. Now she calls herself Woman, but at the time she was Robin Green. She was Rick's nerdy girlfriend. So yeah, that's about. Also, they talk about here about Hulk Hogan. Within 16 hours, Hulk Hogan scored two spectacular victories over Randy Savage. That's a story, because Hulk Hogan rarely wrestles two nights in a row. So, shout out to Hulk Hogan, wrestling doing things that he's actually supposed to do, and that is wrestling matches. Also, let's just go jump right to the rest of the news here. Hulk Hogan. See, talking about Survivor Series. Well, here's Bob Orton Jr. getting himself involved.
Hepatitis.
This is where he got hepatitis. What else here? Actually, not a lot. Just a lot of.
Does this say he's wrestling Vic Steamboat?
Yes. Vic Steamboat and Rick Steamboat are actually brothers. Did you know that? I did not know that until recently. I was very surprised by that too, because I just assumed it was just some bullshit. But yeah. That's what the deal is. Moving ahead here. Thumbs up, thumbs down. So
it's thumbs up to Magnum TA, who got married.
He did.
Yeah, so that must be Tessa Blanchard's mother.
Yes.
Who he married in this issue.
He got married and, produced Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah, who... well, she was already produced.
Oh, yes, right. No, yeah. They brought her. She's not Tully's daughter.
Oh, I thought she was Tully's daughter.
No, this is their daughter.
I thought he was the stepfather.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, Tully's her father.
Are we sure about that?
And he's the stepfather. Yeah.
Are we sure?
Yeah, why would her name be Tessa Blanchard?
Because...
Wouldn't it be Tessa T.A.?
You know what? You're right.
Yeah. His wife got knocked up by Tully Blanchard. She had Tessa, and then she married Magnum T.A. That's the chronology of Tessa Blanchard, and now she's a wrestler.
But I don't I feel like
that's how stepfathers work.
I know that, but I always thought that it was the other way around.
No, no. Tessa, her name would be Tessa T.A. if she was his daughter.
Tessa T.A. That doesn't necessarily roll off the tongue.
Yeah, it does. I think it rolls off really Tessa well. Tessa T.A.
Tessa T.A.
Tessa T.A. Blanchard. That's what she should have called herself.
Tessa,
I just made you $1 million right there with a name.
Tessa T.A. Blanchard.
Change your name to Tessa T.A. Blanchard. Then you have both fathers, because I'm sure Magnum T.A. was just as integral a father figure in your life.
I would bet that's a great pedigree to have. You got Magnum, you got Tully, you know, that's a good...
That's an angle. It's too bad that Magnum T.A. got in that car accident, because that's an angle they could have worked where Magnum T.A., I stole your wife and your kid. And then, like, she calls...
Her name
out,
is Tessa T.A.
Yeah. Tessa Blanchard no more. She's Tessa T.A. And then she comes out as a little baby, and, like, he has her on the shoulder. And then, like, that would just totally mess with Tully Blanchard's head.
But why would he be the face? Are you saying that Tully would be the face?
No, of course he'd still be the heel. Those Georgia Championship Wrestling fans, or Jim Crockett Promotions fans, were like, they would just eat it all up.
That's true.
Yeah, then they would just make fun of Tully, and he'd be upset. Don't forget, Magnum T.A. sexually assaulted Baby Doll in his feud with Tully Blanchard, and the fans loved it. So
yeah, there was some.
They would be all about him having Tully Blanchard's kid. They would be like, yeah, hell yeah, take that, Tully, you bad dad.
Tully Blanchard, the bad dad.
Fancy book.
Oh man, can you imagine that if Tully was, you know, he would be just coming out and be like, bad dad, Tully Blanchard.
Yeah, and then everyone would chant, dead beat dad, dead beat dad. He'd put his hand over his ears, and JJ Dillon would be like, stop it, stop it. And they'd be all, dead beat dad, dead beat dad.
I like this. This has been a license to print money.
Magnum, why'd you have to get in that accident?
I know, man. He would have had a great career. I mean, he's still got a great life. He's still, I'm certain he is very grateful to still be alive, and things are pretty great, but I'm certain a lot of wrestling fans from our generation, you know, that knew of Magnum and that discovered Magnum, you know, as we did, always wondered what could have been, you know, and he could have had this sweet angle.
Yeah. It would have been amazing.
You could have booked him to be the biggest star.
Yeah.
So thumbs up to Curt Hennig. He's having good matches in the WWF, and he's making the AWA look good. That's what they're saying here. Scott Steiner, stick it up for Rick.
Yeah. Got to stick up for your bro.
Yeah. He's there. And also thumbs up to Larry Zbysko.
Oh, yeah, and to Ken Patera, Nikolai Volkov, Magnificent. I guess they won the tag challenge.
Well, here's the deal. They had an indie show that they did. It was Ken Patera and Nikolai Volkov and Magnificent Mimi. And Joe Franklin was there. And it's not Joe Franklin from Secaucus. Rock star Richie Havens. Everybody was there because they had a show. Wrestling stars unite to stomp on drugs.
Oh, gotta stomp those drugs.
Which I would really hope that people brought their own drugs. Like, they brought drugs that they got, like illegal drugs that they took so they can get stomped on in the middle of the ring.
Bring them in the middle of the ring during, like, right before the main event. Like, this afternoon.
Like, just a bunch of syringes and bags
of
coke.
And then the locker room just empties, and the wrestlers come out and they stomp on the drugs.
They all walk through the ring and they just stomp on it. What they do is they set it up as a Garvin stomp.
Yeah.
And they just go around and stomp on the drugs and the different air parts.
And then they have the main event.
Yeah, and then they have the main event.
Drug filled ring.
Which is Ken Patera versus Larry Zbysko in a bunch of residue of coke and broken syringes.
Yeah.
Thumbs down to Paulie Dangerously. Why? I don't know. He's just Paulie Dangerously. Yeah. Thumbs down to Dutch Mantel. He lost the Loser Leaves Town match, and he came back as a masked wrestler known as Texas Dirt. I actually really like that. I think that's awesome, and I feel that it's also appropriate because Dutch Mantel is extremely hairy.
Yeah.
And I imagine he smells rough.
Yeah.
So he smells like Texas dirt. That's probably what somebody said. Thumbs down to Jimmy Snuka.
I like the photo they use of Jimmy Snuka.
He looks like shit.
He looks like present day Jimmy Snuka. And I realize Jimmy Snuka has been dead for a little while now. That's what he looks like in this photo.
He looks like garbage.
Yeah.
And he apparently. So I don't know if I. This is actually pretty interesting. Superfly knows what he has done by coming to the rescue of Hulk Hogan during a recent card in Toronto.
Oh.
Hulk Stuka firmly aligned himself with the man who can make or break his comeback. In all likelihood, Stuka will shine in the public eye for a considerable length of time before realizing that that wrestling in Hogan's shadow can be damaging to a career. So
thumbs down to that.
Thumbs down to that. That's actually a very interesting development because I don't think that's ever been on TV.
No, I don't think so. We'd have to go back and watch the Maple Leaf Garden cards from 1989 to see if this actually happened.
I can't remember any time at any point where Hogan and Snuka interacted with each other outside of WrestleMania 1.
Yeah, I don't think that ever happened. Like when Snuka came back at WrestleMania 5 and after that, they never teamed up.
He was firmly in the mid card. He had no way. I mean, he was nowhere near what Hogan was
doing. Yeah, yeah.
So
I don't think that ever happened.
Like not even Survivor Series. Like even
he teamed up with Piper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coco Beware was on that team. Jim was on that team.
Yeah.
You think maybe you kind of made a spot for Superfly if you're doing this, but I guess not. Then Skander Akbar thumbs down to him. He is constantly being included in our roll call of shame. Well, that's because he's Skander Akbar.
Yeah.
And we're actually talking about his recent acquisition, the Punisher, who went on to become the Undertaker. So, correspondent reports, we know about that. Oh, here's my favorites in The Wrestler. You asked us.
Yeah.
This is where they ask somebody, ask a wrestler, or maybe somebody who works for the magazine in this case, about a question, and they print it. And it's very exciting. My question for Tommy Rich, how does it feel for a former NWA World Champion like yourself to be rated as an underdog in your challenge against Lex Luger?
Well, it's Lex Luger.
It's like Lex Luger. He's
ripped.
He's gigantically muscled.
And I'm Tommy Rich.
And I'm Tommy Rich, and I'm made of silly putty.
Yeah.
And I could be murdered just by him running at me. And we're talking to the Destruction Crew. These are never as entertaining as I would want them to be sometimes. However, I did read one where somebody was like, "Hey, Ken Patero, what was your favorite tag team that you ever had?" No, I just thought that was such a random ask.
They have a photo of Roddy Piper from They Live.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why did Roddy Piper come out of retirement? Is it because his acting career was going nowhere? Dave Rosenbaum responded, "Piper has made a couple of moderately successful movies like They Live, but they won't exactly rank among the finest films of our time." I beg to differ.
They Live was great. Roddy Piper was also in a movie called Mortal Kombat with a C.
No.
Or is it Immortal Kombat?
Was it Mortal Kombat?
I think it was called Mortal Kombat.
Is that the one where he has sex in the shower?
I don't know that, but I remember him like killing somebody with a sack of doorknobs in an elevator.
I remember I think it's the same movie, but I remember the beginning of it where he goes to like a fancy party on an island and he just ends up fighting everybody for some reason.
I got an idea for our Patreon subscribers right there.
What?
We will review Roddy Piper movies as Patreon exclusive.
We should go through his entire IMDb.
We will go through his library of movies, and we will watch every single one. And every month,
should we do a soundtrack
for our subscribers? Oh, Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah,
with Roddy Piper. That's one way to do it. Or we could just do it for like a podcast form where we review it. I don't know. We'll figure it out. That will be our Patreon exclusives right there. Boom. We're doing a Patreon.
Dude, I like it.
We're probably not though. But
maybe we should.
We should. We'll put some feelers out there to some of our super fans that like to interact with us. There's only a few of you, but yeah,
we'll take your money.
Yeah, we'll take your dollar.
Yeah. Introducing Johnny Stewart. I was actually really looking forward to seeing what the introducing was because this is always an interesting part of the wrestler, and I was disappointed. Because this guy is just some AWA schmuck that wrestled in the dying days of the AWA. Apparently his hair is made out of a blonde Brillo pad. I remember who this guy is, but he is I don't know. I don't really have much else to say.
Yeah.
Although he's 22 here. Says he's 22, but he looks like he's 32.
Mm-hmm.
The 80s were rough, man. I'm just going to say that. Oh, check this out here, guys. Q&A this month with P.Y. Chuhai, a.k.a. Phil Hickerson, who identifies as Asian because he became the Tojo Yamamoto's avatar in his fight against Eric Embry.
If I were to like go to the Orient and train and come back as a wrestler, I would use that as my gimmick. However, I would not take on an Asian name. I think that's silly. I think he went a little overboard.
Yeah, you think you've just been like, you could just call himself like Samurai Phil Hickerson something. Yeah,
I'd call myself like
Karate Joe.
Karate
Joe Todaro.
From Buffalo, New York, now residing in Osaka, Japan. That's how I would build myself. I would probably draw Asian writing on my face like him, but I wouldn't change my
name. Is this even Asian writing?
I don't know what it is.
I feel like somebody was like, hey, this is a Korean writing. You should write it on your face, and it just looks like the most garbage. It doesn't even look good.
I wouldn't change my name to P.Y. Chuhai. That's pretty offensive.
What is P.Y.? That doesn't even sound...
It sounds like a Korean gum. Is what that sounds like. If I went to like Koreatown, like a grocery store, I'd get a pack of PY Chuhai, some shiitake mushroom noodles, and some sriracha sauce. That's what I would do.
This article here, I'll have to go back and read this, but they get very frustrated because it's basically this whole article is just a lot of him prattling on about being Asian. And they're just like, no, you're Phil Hickerson, goddammit. Will you just not stop pretending this?
Yeah.
But we do get a nice picture here of Tony Adams, Chris Adams's wife, who was involved with a lot of Chris's battles. Apparently, P.Y. Chuhai went so far to attack Chris Adams's wife. I can't remember. I feel like, yeah, so she wasn't the one. Chris Adams was married to Lady Blossom.
Yeah.
And then Stone Cold took her away, stole her.
Yeah. And she became Stone Cold's wife in real life.
By God, Stone Cold. Yeah. So, yeah, here we got a spotlight on Kurt Hennig, and we got a bunch of pictures. He hasn't had a very long career at this point, but, you know, we got some classic.
I mean, he had a pretty good career in AWA.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's got some good shots here in AWA. A lot of him. A lot of wrestling Greg Gagne.
Yeah.
It's kind of what we're doing here. But he's just getting started in the WWF. He is just, you know, he just wrestled at WrestleMania 5, and he's taking care. He took care of Terry Taylor. And, this is already 1990. Yeah, he's already well on his way. You know, I should give him more credit. Yeah, he's already. Yeah, he had a good 1989 way to kick it off. X-ray on Dan Spivey. Not much else to say here. Beat up on Johnny Ace here.
So I follow on Instagram. There's a guy in the UK who makes wrestling figure molds out of the old WCW Galoob figure style.
Oh, really?
And his latest mold is Dan Spivey. So I'm very excited to see what kind of figure.
Wait, you follow him on Instagram?
Yeah, I follow him on Instagram.
Who's this guy?
I don't remember his name, but it's like custom wrestling figures or something.
I'm going to have to find this out because I'm very interested.
Yeah, but he makes... wrestling figures in the Galoob style of WCW, and he pretty much continued the line is what he did, and he takes photos of them, and it's awesome.
I would prefer to have a bunch of figures in that style.
So would I.
I feel like what I want is it's because they're doing all the WWF ones, yeah, like as old Hasbro ones. I think, and they sort of for a minute they did bring back the LJN style.
They had a few of them like that.
They weren't rubber though. I think they were just plastic.
No, they were rubber, but they weren't. The scale was off. Like it wasn't as big.
No,
It was more like the WCW big rubber ones from San Francisco Toy Makers.
Those weren't rubber though. Those were plastic.
Those were rubber, but they were a harder rubber than the LJN ones.
Okay,
but they were more of that scale, and because Jack's Pacific, the toy line, was LJN turned into Jack's Pacific, so I don't know why they couldn't have the old molds somewhere, like,
yeah,
because that's like LJN went bankrupt or whatever, and then the owner of LJN
really, wait, LJN's not around at all.
No, LJN's not a thing anymore.
I always felt that was around forever.
LJN went out of business, and then like later on, Jack's Pacific was the original owner of LJN founded Jack's Pacific.
Okay.
So it's like a continuation of the LJN toy line. So why didn't he have the LJN molds? I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe somebody else owns them.
Yeah.
Maybe they're with the global library.
The LJN trademark is still around, but it's owned by like another company just for like marketing purposes, just to like make LJN t-shirts and stuff with the logo. But that's it. That's all that's left of LJN.
Here's what I want. Here's what I want. I want a series of wrestlers done as the Galoob style. I also want a series of wrestlers done as the Remco style.
Yeah.
I want all those. WCW. I would love a nice cheap Remco line, because they figured those gotta be cheap.
You know, with the advent and now more affordability of 3D printing, I feel like we can make it happen.
Maybe we should.
We could buy a 3D printer and make our own figures.
Our own Remco figures?
Yeah. I feel we've got the know-how to do it, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's Kickstarter. Give us some cash.
You mean you want to sell the figures? I thought we were just going to make them for ourselves.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll just do them for ourselves.
Yeah, fuck everybody else.
Yeah, screw you guys.
Get your own 3D printers.
You ain't going to have a Remco Iron Sheik that I'm going
to
make.
Yeah, I mean, you could go to Fry's and get a 3D printer for like a couple hundred bucks now. They're very affordable. So,
are they really?
Yeah.
I never look. I don't know. I mean, you got to buy the fucking polymers.
Yeah,
shit.
That's where it gets pricey. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I can't do that.
No, it is a moderate investment. However, like just a few years ago, it would have cost thousands of dollars. Yeah. So the price has come down considerably on a 3D printer. So maybe... Maybe we'll make our own Remco figures.
What a world we live in.
Yeah, well, we can make anything, really. Think about it. With a 3D printer,
sure could.
You can make anything.
I can make this headshot of Greg Gagne.
Greg Gagne retires. I have nothing left to prove.
I like this is a very intense headline. Greg Gagne retires. I'm surprised this didn't make the cover.
Yeah.
Because you figure, Greg Gagne retiring is a big deal for AEW.
Yeah,
for
like
NWI.
Not the main cover story, but it's not on the cover at all. Like it would.
You figure it
would
have been up top.
Up top or like in the corner somewhere. Greg Gagne retires. He's got nothing left to prove.
And we have this fantastic headshot of him.
From Groovy Greg to Rambo Greg, Greg Gagne provided wrestling fans with excitement for two decades. I wouldn't use the word excitement.
Yeah, I don't know. If, yeah.
He provided us wrestling. We'll give him that.
He provided us... literally just like just wrestling. I don't know if it was exciting wrestling, but it was wrestling.
Yeah.
So, and then we move on to Flying Brian. It is the article here is Kid Brother Flying Brian, the Kid Brother Ric Flair never had. Wherever Flying Brian goes, NWA champion Ric Flair is never far behind, making sure this exciting young star stays out of harm's way. Many believe Pillman is just becoming. Is becoming just like a brother to Flair, and the Nature Boy wouldn't have it any other way. Which apparently, I didn't read this. I didn't get a chance to read this article, but he is. I feel like is Flair still kind of a face?
He must be. Yeah, they must be a face at this time.
Yeah, because he's still kind of a face. This is before they turned on Sting and everything. Yeah, we get a shot here of. Flying. Well, actually, here's. I think it's fantastic here, where they photoshopped or they cut out this photo because it's Flying Brian, right? So you have this big letters and this of the Flying Brian, the Kid Brother Ric Flair ever had, and Brian is leaping over the flying, the word flying. But it's what's cool is I can actually even tell this is not. I can tell what he's doing here. Do you tell what he's actually doing here?
It looks like he's like jumping into the ring.
Yes.
Yeah, like during his entrance. Yes. He still has his outfit on.
Yeah. But that was something where I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like I was able to recognize that and that they were able to cut that out. That's really kind of neat. And yeah, so apparently, yeah, because he's because Flair starts to be a face because he's still fighting off Terry Funk. Because we're still excited. I'm going to go to the yard ratings real quick. So September 1988 or 1989, this is, around that time where Flair hasn't. Yeah, because they didn't turn on Sting until 90. So, yeah. No, this is pretty cool. An interesting story here about basically Brian being the fucking man at this time, beating up, fighting Norman a whole bunch. So there you go. So you know what? Let's take our break.
We're going to take a break. It's been a half hour.
Yeah.
You guys need a break. We need a break. We're going to come back. The Hulk Hogan Book of Lists. It's an exclusive from The Wrestler of January 1990, and we're going to tell you about it next.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
And we are back here on I Could Talk Kayfabe, and we have the exclusive The Hulk Hogan Book of Lists.
That's right. Yeah. So basically, this is what's kind of great about this is they just literally just jump into lists.
Yeah.
And I love me some lists.
Lists are fun. We like lists.
So let's go through some of these lists here. The 10 toughest WWF Hulk Hogan opponents. 10 toughest. Yeah, I said that right. And they don't do it from 10 to 1. They don't really, I don't know if they really, do you think they do this in any particular order?
I think number one is his toughest opponent as of that date. So I think they do it in the order they put
okay.
him in.
Okay, yeah. You're right. So yeah, so Andre, number one. Savage, number two. Bob Backlund, number three.
Yeah.
So that must have been at some point. I don't really know when they would have wrestled. They probably wrestled in like the 80s, like early, like 1980.
Yeah.
Ish, when Hogan was a heel, just starting out in the WWF. Then Tony Atlas, number four.
Yeah, they're definitely going back in Hulk Hogan's career. It's not like jumping from 1984 on. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. It's a foreign company. It's a pretty deep list, and yeah. I like that about this. Then you got Dino Bravo, five. Ted DiBiase, number six. Paul Orndorff, number seven. King Kong Bundy, number eight. Piper at nine. And Magnificent Morocco, number 10.
I don't even remember Hulk wrestling Morocco, so it must have been on a Saturday night's main event or something.
No, yeah. That's you don't remember? That's how they...
With the Bundy split. How did I forget that? That was Morocco was his opponent.
We also wrestled Morocco a lot in the in 85.
Yeah, Morocco which they, held his arms for crying out loud. How did
right.
I forget that? Oh my God.
Yeah. So,
shame on me. That's like my whole, that's the whole,
I was just saying,
when
man.
I started watching wrestling, like that was one of my earliest memories was Hulk Hogan against Don Morocco. How did I forget that?
That's right.
For a brief second there.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's what got me into wrestling, Hulk Hogan, Morocco, and I completely had a brain fart on this podcast. I apologize, fans, viewers, listeners, whatever. I apologize for that.
10 toughest matches, so I'll just read these off real quick. Hogan versus Andre at WrestleMania 3. Hogan versus Savage at WrestleMania 5. Versus Nikolai Volkoff in 1984.
Yeah, it must have been a hard match. I don't remember that being a hard match. I remember winning pretty fast.
Well, he had a match... That was on a Saturday Night's Main Event too, like a very yeah. early, like the first one, I think.
That was the match that they used in the Hulk Hogan Real American music video. It was yeah. against Nikolai Volkoff.
That's right.
Yeah.
85 versus Morocco. So here's another.
That's
another
the
one.
Match, yeah. Or is it? Well, no, that's a different.
That's not the match. It's from 85. It's right after or around WrestleMania 1, basically saying that he was worn out. He actually lost those matches by countout.
Wow.
Here's one that I've never heard of, but I feel like I've seen pictures of. It's Hogan with Hacksaw and Ronnie Garvin versus Dino Bravo and the Rougeaus.
That sounds incredible.
It sounds incredible. And Bravo, it says, Bravo won't release his bear hug on Hogan. The referee and other wrestlers try to force a break. Hogan is carried away on a stretcher.
That sounds amazing. I want to see this match.
I remember seeing pictures because there was a picture I remember seeing of Dino Bravo on the ground on top of Hogan with the bear hug still on him, with bear hug still on Hogan, and just crushing him. And that's what led to a bunch of, you know, matches, which you see a picture here of him versus Dino Bravo. He did have a number of matches against Bravo, probably.
Yeah, because the only time I remember Hulk Hogan really in a feud with Bravo was when he was in the feud with Earthquake, and Bravo was like Earthquake's like right-hand man. So,
well, this is February 89, so yeah. This is sometime between, you know, the super mega powers exploding and everything. Also, see, number eight, six is versus Bob Backlund. So here's Bob Backlund. June 1981 in Nagoya, Japan, versus David Schultz in 1983, versus Brutus Beefcake in 1985.
Jeez.
And then December 1985 versus John Studd. So, and then we have arenas. I don't care about arenas. Five wrestlers who were called the next Hulk Hogan, right?
Yeah. And I believe they were all called the next Hulk Hogan by an After magazine or two. Yeah.
Danny Spivey.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, they were like, he is young Hogan.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like Hogan back when he first started. Then Lex Luger was the next Hogan. Scott Hall was the next Hogan. Sid Vicious was the next Hogan. And then Wendy Richter, the Lady Hogan.
Yeah.
This one's the next list of bits disappointing.
Yeah. Favorite finishing maneuvers.
This is number one, leg drop. I mean, give me a few others. You know, he's had other finishers. Yeah. Axe Bomber, number two. Bear Hug.
Yeah.
Number three. I think he's used that at least once.
The Sleeper, I think. I remember. Or was it maybe just the Bear Hug I'm thinking of?
Maybe Bear. I know he also used a Body Vice.
Yeah.
He did that because there's a squash match that he does with I think it's on the Hulk Rules DVD, where he puts two guys in a body vice and just beats them like in a body breaker kind of thing, and that's how he does that. Five fun facts that WWF doesn't want you to know about Hulk Hogan. He's married to Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. He has a daughter, Brooke.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. He's a former rock and roll star and bank teller.
I didn't know he was a bank teller.
No, he was not. Yeah, I know. I did not know that. His real name was Terry Bollea, and he had a previous stint as a rule breaker. Yeah, let me just get some really cool pictures here. Well, actually, I just really like this one picture here of him and his band, Ruckus. And it is a very, very 70s band. This is a wild picture.
Yeah, they kind of look like Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Not only is it Lynyrd Skynyrd, it looks like a trippy Black Sabbath picture, you know, but like Hogan's in the back and he's just got like a headband and long hair. And I kind of wish he just still looked like that forever. Like,
I'm sure he wishes that.
Yeah, I think he does too. If he had that.
Which
hair.
Guy do you think's the singer? This guy here with no shirt on, or this guy with the stars on his shirt and the chest hair sticking out?
No, I think this dude here with the mustache and the chair. He's kind of up here.
Yeah.
The rest of these guys are the rhythm section. Hogan played bass. Eight memorable television appearances. Hogan on the Tonight Show with Joan Rivers. As we see a picture here, he's giving Joan Rivers a hug. On the Search for Tomorrow with Don Morocco and Mr. Fuji. On Hot Properties with Richard Belzer. Yeah, we all remember that one.
Yeah, that one worked out well.
Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling, The Love Boat.
He was on Love Boat with Cindy Lauper?
Wow. No, he was just on Love Boat. Not with Cindy Lauper.
Oh, okay.
But he was just on Love Boat.
Oh, with Cindy Lauper at the Grammys. Okay.
Cindy Lauper at the Grammys as a co-host with Mr. T on Saturday Night Live, which I've never watched.
I've never seen it either. Saturday Night Live is kind of hard to come by. I think that season is on...
It's out there.
There's
a lot of places where you can get
it. Yeah, but it's hard to find old episodes unless you subscribe to Hulu. I want to say
I have Hulu.
Amazon Prime has a bunch of seasons. That season might be on Amazon Prime.
That was like right, so it was 85, so it was kind of like right before
it got good again.
Yeah,
it's like before the all Billy the... Crystal seasons with Eddie Murphy.
We're kind of like in the transition there. Like, I think it might, maybe it was like the Anthony Michael Hall season.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. or whatever.
Yeah, that cast. I mean, you know, you were talking like that cast was bad. Those are all great guys, but it didn't really translate well to SNL. Other than Eddie Murphy, the rest of the skits were kind of the shits. I think John Lovitz was in that cast too, and Joe Piscopo.
Joe Piscopo, that's right. Yeah. And then one of the stars of the TV movie Goldie and the Three Bears. I don't know what movie that would have been, but I don't know if he was a bear.
I'm assuming he wasn't Goldilocks.
No.
No.
Six aliases: Thunderlips, Sterling Golden, The Hulkster, Terry Boulder, Hulk Machine, and Rip. We all knew those. Five things Hulk Hogan does besides wrestling. Water ski, cook health foods. Probably cooking some python powder. Play bass guitar, ride motorcycles, and lift weights. That's not really impressive. And then I'll read this last one. 10 past, current, future. See, this is just kind of bullshit. 10 past, current, or future world champions Hulk Hogan has wrestled. Nick Bockwinkle, Bob Backlund, Iron Sheik, Randy Savage, Harley Race, Stan Hansen, Jerry Lawler, Andre the Giant, Larry Zbyszko, and Terry Funk. I don't remember him ever wrestling Larry Zbyszko. That's a different one.
He might have in AWA.
Probably. Wasn't very good.
Yeah.
So there's your book of lists with Hulk Hogan. I liked it.
It was a good list. It was fun. There's other lists on there, like who his agent also represents, which is kind of a lame list. But yeah, it was a cool thing. It's definitely a filler article. It was an excuse to put Hulk Hogan on the cover, but I enjoyed it, and I felt like a kid again reading it. So yeah,
there's some good lists on there.
Yeah,
shout out to PWI and
Stu Sachs and After and everyone else involved in that list.
Nice work.
Yeah,
Lex Luger on a collision course with disaster. Basically, we just get a nice little story here about Tommy Rich wrestling Lex Luger. I don't know. You read this.
I didn't really read it. I just flipped through it. I read that Hulk Hogan list one.
Yeah. I think we're kind of downhill from here.
Yeah. Well, you have this. This is interesting. Challenge to Tully and Arn. If you think you're great, prove it. Fire Bobby Heenan and prove it. Which, so I guess this guy, David Rosenbaum, I totally butchered.
Rosenbaum.
How did I butcher that? David Rosenbaum wants him to turn face and get rid of Bobby Heenan and prove that they're so good that they can win without him. We watched them in Jim Crockett. We know how good they are. They don't need to fire Bobby Heenan. They're good. No. So
I always felt, though, that Bobby Heenan as their manager kind of felt out of place. Like, there's something about it that just didn't. I mean, it made more sense when I think about it. I don't know. It made more sense when Heenan was Flair's advisor.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like it fit here.
Who would you rather them have?
Maybe they just didn't need a manager. Aren't Tully can cut promos?
Yeah, they could.
They don't need a manager.
Because I'm trying to think of that era of managers. You had Mr. Fuji.
Well, Fuji, no.
No. Jimmy Hart, no. Slick?
No.
That was about it.
Yeah, that's it.
I think Bobby Heenan was, out of those managers, was the best choice for them.
Yeah, but I don't think they needed a manager. It's just been the whatever, call them something else, and have them just come in and just be a tag team. Do all tag teams need to have managers?
I think it was at the time, like, if you were a heel, you needed a manager. That kind of established you. Think of, like, who was a heel at that time that didn't have a manager?
Bad News Brown.
Oh, but he was so badass, he didn't need a manager.
That's true, he did not.
Like, yeah, he didn't trust managers. That's how badass he was.
There's got to be another one, though, right?
I mean, the only one that comes to mind at that time, but he eventually got managers, was Mr. Perfect.
That's true.
He was a heel for the first year or so. Then he had Bobby Heenan, and then he had the Genius. Or did he have the Genius, then Bobby Heenan?
It was Bobby Heenan, Genius. Then No, wait, it was the Genius, Bobby Heenan, then John Tolos.
Yeah.
And then, Bobby Heenan came later.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, that's a really good question about
Rick Martel, I guess.
No, he had Slick.
Oh, he did have Slick.
He had Slick when he, for a minute, and then he didn't have Slick after, I think maybe once he got into like 90, he didn't have Slick. But, interesting question. Like, if you're
heels had managers, it's just how it was.
Bad News Brown.
Except for Bad News Brown.
I think he's literally the one heel that did not have a manager. But I feel like we're missing it. I feel like there's.
Yeah, I mean, Ted DiBiase had Virgil.
Yeah.
So Virgil technically wasn't a manager, but it was somebody in his corner.
Somebody who just ran solo.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any other heels that did that.
Yeah.
So. That weren't, I mean, depending on when they were healed. Ron Bass. He didn't have a manager.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so Ron Bass and Bad News Brown.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
That's it.
How about that? All right, well, yeah, they just tell them that they should fire Tully, or they should fire Bobby. And I do like this photo here of Smash about to get sunset flipped by Arn, and he's just kind of like,
yeah, that's a good photo.
Doing a little thing here. It's kind of neat. Matt Brock looking back. Bloody match between Ernie Ladd and Dick the Bruiser. I know.
I wish I can go back and see more Dick the Bruiser footage, because he just sounds awesome.
He sounds awesome, and I bet a lot of his match was just him punching a guy and people going nuts.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you just need that kind of match.
Yeah.
Where it's just like a guy beating the shit out of another guy and just people losing their goddamn minds.
I love his trunks. They say DB on his trunks.
Dick Bruiser?
Yeah.
Should be Dick Small T. Large B.
Love it. Shout out to RIP Dick the Bruiser, because he was the man. From what I've seen of Dick the Bruiser, it's very limited, but I love everything I've seen. The guy was just awesome.
I can't think of really, as far as like wrestling that we would have watched, that we would have had access to, like him being around.
Yeah, early 80s AWA footage you could see him in.
But that's like barely. Barely. Like the Crusher was around.
Yeah, the Crusher was around, definitely. But Dick the Bruiser, oh my God. I show me some more Dick the Bruiser.
Well, there's
footage,
like WWA,
please.
That was his promotion, which I think you could probably find stuff from. But
God, I love Dick the Bruiser. I wish I could see more of him. Put him on the network. Give him. He needs his own biography, DVD,
whatever. Induct him to the Hall of Fame. Put him in our game.
Yes. I try to create a Dick the Bruiser all the time, and I can't get it right.
You don't know what color his skin was, because he's never had color photos of him. He's always in black and white. There's a continuation of the win, lose, or draw article from earlier.
Yeah.
From earlier in the magazine, and it's just this picture of Lex Luger on the ground, kind of doing like a Sears catalog kind of pose in the middle of a match on the
It looks like he's trying to get up, but he's posing.
He's like contemplating, but he's also trying to get up, and it's just a very odd photo, and I like it. Lex Luger, I feel like, first of all, this is like when he was like a heelish.
Mm-hmm.
Like 89, when he wants to be like have personality and he wants to be cool, he can be cool.
Yeah.
There's something, and he never really gave us that when we need, you know, when we needed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I always felt in WWF, he was just like, oh, here's this muscular guy and that's it. You know, and, you know, he, even when he was the narcissist, there really wasn't great shakes, but I feel like when he wanted to be, he could be it. And then it just, but I mean, because this right here, it's like, that's a great photo.
Yeah.
And I mean, that conveys a lot to me about this wrestler. You know, if I didn't know him, if I was just starting out, like, oh, that looks interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. So we just go through our reports. We're just on the final pages here of this magazine.
All the continuations. There's Greg Gagne and Brian Pillman wrestling Norman the Lunatic.
Slamming Norman. Look at that.
Yeah.
Brian Pillman's a strong motherfucker.
Oh, more Hulk Hogan lists.
Well, we know he's
we continued. Oh.
Yeah, too bad we didn't get those special extra lists here.
That would have been fun.
Could have used a few of those.
Yeah.
Nintendo ads. Nintendo ads. Wrestling ring gone. Nintendo wacky.
You can buy.
Why is it G-O apostrophe N? Going?
They just put going.
Going? Well, yeah, so we get a bunch of ads for some.
You can get Hydlide. And
did you ever play Hydlide?
Yeah.
I heard it sucks.
It does.
Why does it suck?
So you see that the FCI?
FCI, yeah.
Pretty much anything that you see that sucks. Just know that FCI is not good.
Well, they did do the WCW games.
And those games suck.
I don't hate Super Brawl.
Yeah, that one's better.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
It's not good, but I don't hate it. I've also always...
I like all the Tengen games on the bottom.
Well, I want to talk about Dr. Chaos for a second.
Okay.
Do you ever play Dr. Chaos?
I don't think so. I own it, though.
I have it on my thing, my arcade things, and I'm tempted to play it. I got burned out.
Yeah.
I was trying to play, Crystallis.
Yeah.
And I got burned out by Crystallis because I got to this part where I was like doing well, but then I just hit like a part where it's kind of fucked.
Mm-hmm.
and I don't think I'm gonna go back to it. But I've always been interested by Dr. Katz because I like the title.
Yeah, it's a cool title.
It's a cool title, and it looks like it'd be fucking badass. It's also like, but I bet the game is not nearly as good as you would think it is.
Yeah.
Same thing goes for remember Eight Eyes.
Yeah, I have Eight Eyes on it. I don't remember it being that good.
Well, it's like one of those games where it was kind of like not WrestleMania, Castlevania.
Yeah.
But like with a falcon, guy, you had an extra falcon and you had a sword.
Oh, man, I just bought Castlevania Rebirth and I was playing it Friday night. It's a lot of fun.
Is it? What's that from?
So Castlevania Rebirth is only on the Wii Virtual Console Shop. And you have to buy it now because come March, you're not going to be able to add more funds to your Wii Virtual Console. And by January, that's it. They're closing the Wii Virtual Console. So you have to buy it literally right now. It's a lot of fun. It's an old school style Castlevania game, but with like updated like graphics. I can't say they're like updated to modern graphics or even like that era graphics, but they're like, it's cool. It's just a fun game, and it's a lot easier than the old Castlevania game. So you can get through it in like an hour, but it's a lot of fun. Shout out to Castlevania Rebirth.
Nice. Speaking of the Tengen games, I want to point out here one of my favorites, Rolling Thunder.
Rolling Thunder. Vindicators is also a good game.
Vindicators is hard, though.
Yeah.
Because you kind of like it's one of those ones where it's like in the arcade, you have to control the two controllers. Yeah. I didn't like that. I had Pac-Man because my father was like, we need to get Pac-Man.
Of course.
I didn't want to get Pac-Man.
Oh.
I wanted to get Gauntlet.
Yeah.
But my dad made us get Pac-Man. So we got Pac-Man. And also, there's the Indiana Jones one. This one's a fucking hard. I don't like this game.
Yeah.
Fuck that game. And then we also have the other games here. We got some Konami one. Bayou Billy.
This game sucks.
Yeah. I bet I've
all of these games suck.
Cobra Triangle's hard too.
Yeah.
I don't like a boat game. Yeah. Shout out to these Nintendo games. We should do a Nintendo podcast, Joe.
Everyone does Nintendo. No, see, what's cool is a lot of people do wrestling podcasts. We're the only ones doing this kind of podcast.
I think so. I actually did find, maybe I'll send this to you. There's a guy on a blog that I read who does wrestling magazine reviews.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I might have to get in touch with him.
But everyone's doing a Nintendo game podcast, so it's been done. Go listen to them. I'm sure there's some good ones out there. I don't really listen to any of them, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're in our ratings. We have, here's our top 10. And actually, the top 10 is actually interesting when you get to the very end here. You got Hulk Hogan, Flair, Warrior, Luger, Muda, Lawler, Sting, Savage, Zabisco, and number 10, Dennis Condrey.
Yeah, CWF Heavyweight Champion.
He is the Continental Wrestling Champion. I'll be honest, I don't even remember that. And I always felt that was like either Robert Fuller or Wendell Cooley.
Yeah.
Or Dutch Mantel or Tony Anthony. Those are the only people that ever held that belt.
Yeah.
Maybe Bob Armstrong. But Dennis Condrey, I do not remember ever holding that belt. But somehow he made it into the top 10, which is pretty impressive. I will say, your top 10 is just full of your usual suspects here. Tommy Rich is cracking the top 10 in the NWA. He's doing pretty good. Your USWA's got your PY Chuhais, your Eric Embry. Eric Embry, surprisingly, I can't remember if he ever actually won the USWA title. You know, like he ever, like, I feel like because he was like, really popular.
The USWA, I'm not really caught up on my history with that promotion. That title used to change hands like every week. So.
Well, yeah, it really literally did.
Yeah.
It literally, like, Lawler is like a 50-time champion.
Yeah, it was stupid. And coincidentally enough, though, Lawler was not the last champion. It was Dutch Mantel when the promotion closed.
There is a long list of random-ass people that have won that title.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a nice.
And their title reigns were for like a week, and then they lost the belt back to Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, literally.
It was like they beat Jerry Lawler, they held it for a week, then Jerry Lawler beat him the following week.
Then he would trade it back and forth with like Dutch Mantel or Eddie Gilbert for like another 6 months.
Yeah, it never went to like Jerry Lawler, then to another guy, then to another guy. It was always Jerry Lawler, somebody, then back to Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. So, we're looking at other promotions here. We got Scotty the Body on top of PNW. He's there.
Tony Atlas, ICW champion.
That's right. Yeah, we're talking. Yeah, ICW, the got some interesting characters.
Oh, WWC champion Steve Strong.
Yeah, caught me upside. Have you ever seen a Steve Strong match?
No.
Go back and try. You know what? Maybe I'll have to post this on the Facebook page. It's a Steve Strong match with him and some jobber in the AWA. And it is the sloppiest fucking match I've ever seen that they actually put on television. But sloppy in a way that, not because of two guys not knowing how to wrestle, it's because Steve Strong is so strong and does not give a fuck. And it's kind of uncomfortable. So I'll have to share that with you because it's interesting. And yeah, actually, him being WWC champion is pretty interesting because it's not Carlos Colon or... just Carlos Colon.
Yeah. You know,
it's pretty surprising that it is not him. But
or TNT, I guess, would be another.
Well, I want to point out here in the ratings here, you have TNT is number 3, a.k.a. Savio Vega. But then you have original TNT.
Oh.
I'm curious who the original is and what kind of angle they were doing there. I will like to check that out. So, yeah, but that's your ratings. Anything you want to say about these ratings?
No. We said it all, I think.
We do have some finer tuned ratings here for the Intercontinental title and the U.S. title.
Andre the Giant and Dusty Rhodes, both in the Intercontinental title running.
Yeah, which, right.
Okay, sure.
Sure, yeah. They would never... Even when Rude was champion, Rhodes had never had a shot.
Yeah.
Rhodes never had a shot at any title.
No, he was just like the main attraction. And don't get me wrong, he had some high profile feuds in his time, but he was just like an attraction that wasn't Hulk Hogan, is basically what he was.
Yeah. He never competed for anything.
Yeah, he had good, like a high profile feud with the Boss Man and with Savage and with DiBiase. Those are pretty big feuds.
Yeah.
But he was never in the running for any championship match.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But that's it for this fine issue of The Wrestler from January 1990.
Yeah.
I am very impressed with it. I like a good book of lists. And
we love books of lists.
They did deliver. They delivered in spades.
If you want to know more about the Book of Lists, you know, find this issue and read it, because that's all I got to say. if you want to follow us on Instagram and Twitter, I'm Sweatpants Joe.
And I'm Angry Hero Sean on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes, and you can also like us on Facebook. And please rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars. That would help the podcast out a lot.
Yeah.
I see our ratings have gone up quite a bit, and I thank you all for that. But keep them coming. We need more. So
yeah, keep hustling, guys. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, thanks again for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you again next week.